Full of Surprises by Vix_Spez, read by Pizina. Q let out a stream of particularly vitriolic curses as he viciously stubbed his toe on some piece of furniture that had decided it hated him. 3 months ago, he wouldn't have known a quarter of those curses, but apparently you picked up things when you were the preferred handler of the entire 00 division. He'd already been fluent in a handful of languages and was able to add even more, along with a handful of obscure dialects, although the only things he could really say were curses. His mobile pinged, informing him that his car was waiting downstairs, and if he wasn't in it within 5 minutes, the driver would be up to collect him. Apparently, Eve hadn't been lying when she said he didn't have time to get dressed. Pulling on his shoes, Q grabbed his mobile, his bag, then left the flat, pausing only briefly to ensure that his security systems were engaged. It had been 3 months since the events of Skyfall, longer still since Silver's attack on MI6 itself, and things were still constantly evolving. Mallory taking over the position of M had been as seamless as it was going to be, particularly considering that a large proportion of the world's criminal underworld had taken the destruction of MI6 as a carte blanche to run amok. Every single field agent that could be sent out had been, leaving only the support staff in London, while the 00 division had been run ragged. Normally, every 00 was given a period of enforced downtime after a certain number of missions, or if it was a particularly bad mission, immediately enforced downtime. After Silver, that was no longer an option. There had been 3 months of non-stop missions for field agents, and the 00s in particular, which meant 3 months of non-stop work for Q as well. If anything, Q had been working harder than anybody else except for Mallory and Tanner. Q hadn't actually been officially Q until MI6 had blown up, taking with it the previous Q and a number of other support staff. His rapid promotion, even though he had been the only candidate considered, combined with in-house politics, the division's relocation, and everything else he had to do as a senior member of MI6, meant that Q had taken to sleeping on a camp bed in the corner of his private office. It was far from ideal, but what other choice did he have? There'd been no R, and most of the members of Q's department, whom Moneypenny and the 00s referred to as his minions, were all incredibly young. All had been taken on in an era where cyber-based skills had become more and more necessary, but they were not really capable of running missions. There were a couple of exceptions, of course, several older members of Q branch that had proved invaluable to Q, and those that he could trust. However, the 00s were a possessive bunch. Despite their jibes at his age, Q had proved that he was more than capable of doing his job. He may be the youngest branch head in MI6 history, but he was the best quartermaster that they had had. The 00s refused to have anybody but the best on their comms. And Q was the best. Things were slowly starting to get back to normal. So upon orders from Moneypenny, with no 00s on a mission that would need him for the next 8 hours, Q had left another member of the branch in charge and returned to his flat for what felt like, and probably was, the first time in months. More than anything, he was looking forward to having a bath and a good night's sleep in a proper bed. MI6 had many things, but good water pressure wasn't one of them. Besides, a hot bath and a glass of old expensive scotch sounded like just the thing after such a stressful period. It had all been going so well. A driver had taken him home, another development as a result of the security breach, at least for department heads, and he had been met by a delivery man from his preferred Chinese takeaway, Eve evidently having interfered and phoned in an order. It took mere seconds for him to bypass his security system, and he was finally alone in the peace and quiet of his own flat. He had gobbled down the takeaway while he'd run the bath, before retreating into the steaming heat with a generous measure of scotch. He'd only left the bath when he'd started falling asleep, knowing that it would be just his luck to survive Silver's attack, just to drown himself at home. The bath having sapped him of what little remaining energy he had left, he'd just about managed to dry himself off before collapsing into bed and pulling the duvet over his head. He'd been asleep within seconds. Feeling like he'd had far too little sleep, Q was awoken by the horrible blaring ringtone of his official mobile, set loud enough to wake the dead, the noise obnoxious enough that you would answer it quickly just to shut it up, never mind Queen and Country. It was 3 a.m. and he'd realised he'd only had a solid 5 hours sleep. Not enough by far. He'd need double that again before he'd feel human, but it was the longest period of solid sleep that he had been granted in a while, so he wasn't going to protest too much. It was Moneypenny on the other end of the line, informing him that there was a situation with 006 and that the agent in question didn't trust anyone other than Q to get him out alive. Not to mention that something had happened in R&D, so R, Q's second, was out of action. Eve had sent a car to collect him that would be arriving in 5 minutes. Stumbling down the stairs, he threw himself into the back of the waiting sedan, hands already scrambling with his laptop as he connected to Q Branch. Of course it would be 006 who had problems, and not one of the other agents out in the field. Alec Trevelyan and James Bond, best friends and partners in crime for nearly 20 years. There was a reason that M was careful about ensuring that the two of them were no longer assigned to the same missions, or the same country, at the same time. The two of them caused havoc and chaos on 9 out of 10 missions, and the two of them were the reason that the Q Branch budget had steadily increased year upon year since they had both attained 00 status. It only made sense that with Bond back in London, and on enforced medical leave, it would be Alec causing trouble. Had it been any other 00 who had run into trouble, Q knew that Eve wouldn't have called him in. But Alec, like Bond, had difficulties in following orders at the best of times, and had a disturbing propensity to improvise, often with a serious lack of care for his own safety, the equipment that he had been given by Q Branch, and whether or not he was going to cause an international dispute. They had barely been driving 2 minutes before Q had patched himself into the MI6 mainframe and had his inept minion, the one that had been supposedly handling the mission, on the other end of the phone. "What's the situation?" Q listened to the stammering, babbling idiot try to explain the state of play as he pulled up intel and watched CCTV footage and Alec's movements from the trackers that all 00 agents were now implanted with. Mentally, he made a note to move this particular minion to R&D. "Patch me through to 006 and then consider yourself removed from this mission. I'll handle it from here on in." He heard a quiet affirmation, followed by a few seconds of scuffling sounds before hurried breathing filled his ear. "006, this is Q. Report, please."
"Q, thank fuck. It's all gone tits up. Bad intel from that little shit of an informant."
Alec descended into a stream of curses and threats, in Russian, that Q merely blinked at. "Let's not cast aspersions on the man's mother, 006. I'm on my way into Q Branch at the moment, so I need you to give me all the details that you can." Alec was still talking when they pulled up at headquarters, Q being waved through security without questions, although there were more than a few raised eyebrows. No one made a comment, though, until he walked into Q Branch. The members working the night shift didn't comment. Of course they didn't. They all adored Q, and were fairly convinced that he was the best thing to happen in a long time. Although that might be due to the fact that there was almost nothing he would veto, and he hadn't complained when R&D accidentally blew up one of the labs. The comments came from the higher-ups gathered in Q Branch. Moneypenny and Tanner Q could understand, but why was M there? And, of course, Bond was there, lurking in a corner. "Is that really appropriate attire, quartermaster?" Mallory was, of course, impeccably dressed as usual. Q couldn't work out if he had had more notice before being called in, or if Mallory simply just hadn't left the office and had still been in the building. Whatever the reason, Q couldn't help but feel more than a little disgruntled. Tanner looked smart and unassuming as ever, completely unruffled, despite the ridiculously early hour. And Eve looked as though she was about to go out for cocktails, in a vividly coloured tight dress and wicked-looking stilettos. As usual, Bond looked as though he'd just stepped out of the pages of GQ magazine. Of course, Q had to be wearing his pyjamas, while James Bloody Bond was dressed like a walking wet dream. These weren't even Q's good pyjamas. They were his ridiculously comfortable pyjama bottoms, the ones worn so frequently and that had been washed so many times they were practically see-through. Add to that the baggy t-shirt, which had originally belonged to an ex-boyfriend. Q wished he had managed to pick up the equally huge hoodie that had belonged to yet another ex. At least wearing that, he might have had some hope of hiding the inevitable erection that would ensue with Bond looking like he did. Maybe having an audience would mean Q could avoid getting a hard-on. He didn't think it was that likely, though. It would help if Bond would just stay in his corner where Q couldn't see him, and thus could ignore him. Oh, great. Now Bond was smirking at him. It was the ridiculous smirk that made the older man look even more attractive, and pissed off Q, but at the same time made him want to beg the agent to just rip off his clothes and fuck him into his desk. And then Q remembered he was in pyjamas, and really shouldn't be thinking about Bond fucking him at Q Branch. He tugged his t-shirt down as best he could, while still trying to be subtle, and moved swiftly towards the bank of monitors. It all left Q feeling very young, out of place, and rather irrationally irritated. 5 minutes to allow him to get dressed didn't really sound like a long time. But considering that he didn't know exactly what was happening in Russia, those 5 minutes could mean life or death for Alec. Judging by what he now knew, that probably wasn't the case. While the intel was bad and things hadn't gone to plan, Alec was a more than capable agent, albeit one with a predilection to create unnecessary chaos. Q realised Mallory was still waiting on a reply about his wardrobe choice. "Probably not, but you can blame Moneypenny for that. She told me that I had 5 minutes to be in the car, and if I wasn't, then the driver would put me in the car whether I was dressed or naked." Bit of an exaggeration, but Moneypenny looked far too smug. He hadn't even been offered a cup of tea yet. Moneypenny might be M's assistant, but as branch head, Q did technically outrank her.
"So, Q's wearing a Star Trek t-shirt or pyjamas by the sound of it. Or is it something more interesting?"
The lecherous grin on Alec's face could be heard even through the phone.
"It's all very nice and intriguing, but that doesn't change the fact that my intel was bad. And if you don't do something soon, I'm going to get bloody shot at."
"Well, if that happens, you better shoot back, hadn't you, 006? I'd hate to think that I personalised that gun for you for nothing." "Alec has a personalised gun." The annoyance in Bond's voice could clearly be heard. By contrast, the smugness and mocking in Alec's voice were obvious.
"Aw, poor James. Do you not feel special anymore?"
"Shut up, Alec. Of course I'm special. I got the personalised gun first. Besides, everybody knows that I'm Q's favourite."
"Do they? Why would you be Q's favourite? You might have got the personalised gun first, But then you went and managed to lose it within a few days.
It got eaten by a bloody dragon. That was hardly my fault.
Of course it was your fault. You were dicking around when there were dragons in the vicinity. If anybody is going to be Q's favourite, then it's going to be me.
Q listened to their banter with one ear, most of his attention still on the screens in front of him, analysing the information and desperately seeing if there was a way to salvage this mission. The camaraderie between Alec Trevelyan and James Bond, 006 and 007 respectively, was legend in MI6, as was their amazing ability to create chaos wherever they went. At first, Q had been jealous of the relationship the two of them shared, positive that he could never be anything to either of them. Instead, he had steadily found himself drawn into their chaos, and he had loved it. Both of them teased him incessantly, but it was Bond who flirted outrageously, which didn't help with Q's crush at all. After all, Bond flirted with men and women indiscriminately, more women than men, given his legendary prowess, which meant that Q wasn't an exception. He was just one of a multitude of others. All it did was make him more and more determined to stamp out his crush, and the hope that one day he might be more than just an office flirtation to Bond. Unfortunately, he had had no such luck yet. "If you two have quite finished, I'll have you know that neither of you is my favourite. My favourite is 004, because he is actually capable of returning all of his equipment intact and doesn't hang around Q Branch distracting my staff and annoying me." Despite his amusement at two lethally trained killers arguing over which of them was his favourite, Q couldn't help but be more than a little mortified that this discussion was happening in front of his boss. He also hoped that no one knew that he was lying through his teeth, because he really was an awful liar, and Bond was his favourite agent. 006, please try to be better than 007 and bring your weapon home.
Didn't you know, Q? I'm always better than James at everything.
There was a snort of derision from the corner that Bond was stood in, and Q just knew that they were going to start their banter again. That's bullshit, Alec. What about that time in Tunis that... Ahem. Both men fell silent as M cleared his throat. If you gentlemen have quite finished, I would quite like to avoid an international crisis, particularly as 006 isn't supposed to be in Russia. There were two quiet, almost respectful yes sirs from Bond's corner and from Alec over the comms, but Q knew that neither of them was truly sorry. Raising his head from the screens in front of him, Q saw a small smile playing at the corners of Tanner's mouth, and Moneypenny had conveniently buried her attention in her phone. M paid them no mind as he carried on talking. 006, do you have any means of salvaging the mission?
Negative. Maybe if I hadn't had to deal with that insipid, incompetent idiot, but not now.
In which case, 006, consider your instructions null and void. The mission is terminated. Q, will you book a ticket back to London and be in touch? Stay low until then. Barely a minute passed between the words leaving M's mouth and Q saying, 006, your flight has been booked and it leaves in an hour. Your ticket will be waiting at the departures desk for you. Please do endeavour not to be distracted by either vodka or air stewardesses and actually be on the plane when it leaves.
As you wish, my dear quartermaster.
Alec's voice was full of suppressed laughter, and Q didn't need to look behind him to know that Bond was grinning outright. Thank you, M said. My apologies for rousing you from your bed. We had hoped that we would be able to recover the mission and direct 006 to ensure its completion. Moneypenny will acquire a driver from the carpool, and you can resume your time off. I'm sure that R will be able to cope. She only has minor smoke inhalation. When there was no response from Q, M spoke again. Quartermaster, did you hear me? Q gave no sign of hearing him yet again, his fingers typing furiously as his eyes darted between the multitude of screens in front of him, data streaming at a ridiculous rate. As Tanner moved behind Q to try and follow what he was doing, nobody paid any attention to Bond slipping out of the room. Q only registered his reappearance because he came accompanied by the instantly recognisable and very much needed scent of bergamot. Q muttered his thanks, but didn't bother to reach out and take it, still completely focused on his screens. Tanner, what is he doing? It sounded as though M was starting to be more than a little unimpressed by the fact that Q still hadn't responded. I believe that he is completing 006's mission, sir. Sorry, what? Q has retrieved all the data that we needed and is currently working on eradicating the weapon stockpiles. The whole room watched, seemingly impressed, as Q, in no time at all, and in his pyjamas no less, proceeded to complete the mission that Alec had been sent out to complete. He didn't break a sweat, and probably looked for all the world as though he should still be at school. He knew that very few people believed Q was old enough to drink, let alone head up a branch of MI6. Dressed as he was, it wasn't hard to understand how they reached that conclusion. Ensuring that all traces of his digital presence had been removed, Q turned his attention away from the monitors and towards the tea that Bond had made for him, in the ridiculously oversized mug that was Q's favourite. He was trying to decide whether he was disturbed or impressed that Bond knew exactly how he took his tea, when the man himself was at his side. You really weren't lying when you said you could do more damage than a 00, were you? And I haven't even had my tea yet. Q turned quickly to glance at Bond's reaction. Bond looked genuinely impressed, and Q couldn't help but preen slightly. Before Q could respond further, he was summoned over to talk to M. The next time that he turned around, Bond had disappeared. Having been dismissed by an impressed Mallory for the second time, Q had headed down to where he was to meet his driver. Feeling satisfied with the evening's work, or should it be morning's work, Q overlooked the fact that his much-needed and anticipated rest had been disturbed. Still, maybe the second attempt would be better. There was no sign of the unmarked car that he was expecting, and he had just pulled out his phone when a car pulled up next to him. Rather than the unassuming sedan that he was expecting, Bond's Aston Martin was there instead. Q barely hesitated before climbing inside, just managing to strap himself in before Bond was screeching out of the car park. You're just full of surprises, aren't you? Wouldn't you like to know, 007? Q uttered the flirtatious response before he had the opportunity to really think about it. The minute that the words left his mouth, though, he wished he could take them back. A quick glance sideways showed that Bond had taken them in the flirtatious manner that they were intended. We're both off duty. You don't have to call me by my call sign anymore. You can call me James. Or Bond. He turned in his seat, taking his eyes off the road to flash a charming smile at Q. What can I call you? Q. Playing hard to get, quartermaster. I like it. Q couldn't help but blush at that, cursing his traitorous capillaries. Before he could respond to Bond's observation, Q glanced out of the window and realised whereabouts in London they were. Where on earth are you taking me, Bond? This isn't the way to my flat, and I know you're not completely inept at reading a map. Your words wound me, my dear Q. Well, it may be a little early, but I thought I would take you out for breakfast. I know a fantastic little place. Bond, I'm wearing my pyjamas, not a ridiculous designer suit like you. They aren't particularly suitable. I assure you, your attire is absolutely fine. You'll hear no complaints from me anyway. Besides, I know the owners. Of course you do. Why doesn't that surprise me? They fell back into silence for the brief couple of minutes that made up the rest of the journey. Q's eyes widened when he saw the building outside of which they had pulled up. Here? Anybody would think that you were trying to seduce me, Mr. Bond. Little did Q know that looking sideways at the almost fey creature next to him, dressed in pyjamas that were far too big and which hid absolutely nothing, with his ridiculous hair and glasses, Bond couldn't help but think that, yes, he did want to seduce his quartermaster, as strange as it sounded. Seducing the quartermaster? Well, that was what Bond was going to spend his downtime doing. It wasn't going to be easy, particularly as Q appeared to be quite mercurial, but Bond had never backed down from a challenge. In fact, he relished them, particularly when the end result was as delightful as Q. And oh, what a challenge Q was going to be. All of a sudden, Bond was looking forward to his previously dreaded downtime. The end. Thank you for listening.